Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the bottom line. Maskuflei Rav Chaga. Rav Chaga asks a question to the basic issue that we have been discussing, and that is that the halacha is that if a loiva owes the malva money, the Torah teaches us that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva to collect the mashkin. Rather, he has to take it b'chutz tamid, he can't enter the home. And furthermore, as we have been learning and will continue to learn, he has to return every day the mashkin to the loiva if the loiva is in need of these items. Ask the Gemara, v'leimalei, why can't the malva say, lavalai karamis? Why is it my entire responsibility? Why is it my sole responsibility to be responsible for the situation that the loiva doesn't have the ability to pay back his debts, and I have to carry this responsibility by myself? Amalei Abaya responds, Abaya, Ibra leikrami. Indeed, it is his responsibility. Shem shenemar, because the pasuk says, L'chati yitzdaka. And as Mepharshim explained, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to you the ability to help that person, then it becomes your obligation to help that person more than anyone else's. And the Mepharshim and the Imri Emes, Mepharshim quote an episode with the Imri Emes to help us understand this Gemara. There was once a situation, there was a tenant who did not have the ability to pay rent. And the landlord, who was a wealthy person, evicted the tenant. And the tenant was very upset that this wealthy person evicted him. The story took place with Ger Chassidim, and this landlord came into the Ger Rebbe, the Imri Emes, and the Imri Emes was upset at him for what he did. Said the landlord to the Imri Emes, yes, this individual is a destitute individual, and I certainly would contribute together with others to raise money for him, but why do I have the responsibility to all by myself to have to take care of him, that I should not be able to evict him? So the Imri Emes answered with a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Misha chetshish eved v'chetshish ben chayrim. We have an individual who's half a free man and half an Eved. So the Gemara says that it's actually a Mishnah, Masechta Gittin, that it becomes the obligation of the owner to free him, and then the person, this Eved, will pay off the value to his former owner. And the question arises, yes, we have a situation that we have a person that's Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chayrim. It's a difficult situation. But why again is it solely the responsibility of the person who owns the Chatzi Eved to free him? Let everybody contribute to helping him become free. Why does this person have to take it on by himself? The answer, said the Imri Emes, is as we learned in our Gemara. At times we are given the ability to do a mitzvah which other people may not have that schus. And may not have that ability, and therefore you have the ability to pay to free him. You should take that obligation. You, as the landlord, had the ability to keep the tenant in his home. He doesn't have the ability to pay his rent. It becomes your responsibility more than anyone else's. Actually, he also said it, the story goes, to another situation where there were two mechatanim marrying off the children, and one of the sides was Baruch Shem wealthy, and the other side could not keep the obligations they had met in terms of the chasna and the other needs of the couple. And again, it was said to the side that had the ability, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, gave you the ability to do this by yourself, don't say, why should I do it by myself? On the contrary, you should do what you can to help. Says the Gemara, Boilehu. As we learned in the previous shiur, we learned the concept of Sidur. The concept of Sidur is a concept that the Torah actually introduces in the parasha of Erchin. Just to briefly review, as we learned in the previous shiur, the halacha is that every person, based on their age and on their gender, has a certain erech, has a certain value that the Torah gives him. But the Torah says, v'machu me'erkecha, if a person obligates himself to give his own erech, or the erech of a different individual, the Torah says, v'machu me'erkecha, if the person doesn't have the ability to pay it, v'midoi lefnei ha'koyin, says the Torah that we should bring this person to the koyin, and the koyin should evaluate what he can and can't afford, and the halacha is that's as much as he'll have to pay. Actually, there's another din, as we mentioned, that the halacha is that if the person paid as much as he could, and then Baruch Hashem, he becomes wealthier, the halacha is that once he paid what he could, the obligation to pay the erech no longer applies. That is the concept of sidur. Ask the Gemara, Mashi Sadru Bal Chayiv. What is the halacha regarding a Bal Chayiv? Mi gama micham micham erchin, do we learn a gzeres shava from erchin, to just like the Torah uses the word by erchin, v'machu me'erkecha, the Torah uses a similar word regarding a loan, the Torah uses the word v'chiyamach achicha umata yadi imach, to teach us that there's a din of sidur by Bal Chayiv also. And there's a number of ways that the Rishayim explain the Gemara's question. One way of explaining the Gemara's question is that, as we learned in the previous year, the Gemara actually suggested that this issue of Sidur by Bal Chayiv is actually machloikis between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tanakama will subscribe to this concept. Rav Shimon Gamliel will not. And the Gemara wants to know, who does the halacha follow? It's one way of understanding the Gemara. Another way of understanding the Gemara is that we learned in the previous year that even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the only reason the Gemara said that the issue, the concept of Sidur, was not relevant according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara explained, because Rav Shimon Gamliel held the Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim. However, it could be that it's not necessarily that Rav Shimon Gamliel, under all circumstances, holds Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim, and therefore the Gemara wants to know, what does Rav Shimon Gamliel hold regarding Sidur? Another way that we try to explain the Gemara is also going back to our introductory remarks to the previous year, where Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the issue that we have been discussing about a mashkin is a very specific situation. It's a situation where the loan is due, the loiva doesn't pay the malva, and the malva wants to take a mashkin at this point. However, if the malva is taking from the loiva payment for what is due to him, then Rabbeinu Tam says that all the halachas we have been learning don't apply. And now ask the Gemara, if the loan is due and the loiva is not paying the malva and the malva is forcing the loiva to pay him, the Gemara wants to know that even though he may force him to pay him, is there a concept of sidur under those situations? Do we have a gzeres shava from erchin or not? Toshma. So Gemara wants to answer the question. The Shalach Ravin Bagarte. Ravin sent the following letter. Dovazesh Alti L'chol Rabbeisai. I asked the following question to all my teachers. V'le Amri L'dover. Where they weren't able to answer me. Bram Kachos Shaila. The following question was asked in the Beis Medrash, and perhaps based on the answer given in the Beis Medrash, we could answer the question. If somebody obligates himself to give a mana to the Bedek Habayis, Maoshi Sadru, and he can't afford that, he can't afford to pay that pledge, is there a concept of Sidur or not? Rav Yaakov Mishmei Debapoda, Rav Yirmiya Mishmei the Elf Amri, Kavachoymer from Bal Chayiv. We make a Kavachoymer from a Bal Chayiv. Oma Bal Chayiv. If by a Bal Chayiv that there is halacha shemagzirim, that we have to return the mashkin, a mesadrin. The halacha is that we don't do sidur hegdish. So by hegdish, she'em achzirim, where there is no concept that we have to give back a mashkin to hegdish, certainly ain't a din she'em mesadrin that we're not mesadah by hegdish. But what do we see over here? That as part of understanding the Kal v'chomer, he clearly indicated that by Baal Choyv, the halacha is ain mesadrin. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and Rabbi Yochanan says the pasuk says neder ba'akchaksiv. The Torah is makish. The Torah compares hegdish to erchin, and therefore ma erchin mesadrin. Just like by erchin there's halacha that were mesader af hegdish, so to by hegdish there's halacha that were mesadrin. Vidach. And the other man, the Omer, who clearly doesn't agree with this opinion, and he says that we don't, that by Hegdish we are not Masader, what will he use this Hegdish for? Answers the Gemara, Hahula Nidim Chvaydu Dasa. It's coming to teach us another halacha. It's coming to halacha to teach us that we look at what he connected his vow to. Ma Erch Nidim Chvaydu. The halacha is, as we said, if somebody said Erech Yolai, or Erech somebody else Yolai, he has to pay that Erech. But the halacha also is, that let's say he didn't say Erechi, or Erech Plani Yolai, he said Erech of somebody else's kaved, somebody else's liver, or not specifically the liver. Let's say he said the Erech of someone else's Aver, Shanashama Tluyba, an aver which is crucial to a person's existence. The halacha will be, under those circumstances, that the erech will be an erech, and he will have to give that erech. Teaches us the hekesh that the same halacha applies to a hegdish, and if somebody is magdish, that he's going to give the value of someone else. And he doesn't say, I'm just giving the value, but he connects it to an aver, shanashama tluyba. He connects it to a vital organ or limb. The halacha will be that he has to give the entire value of that person. Ma erchin nidim b'chvoidai. We look at the aver, shanashama tluyba. Av hegdish nidim b'chvoidai. We look at that limb and organ, and he has to give the entire value. It's not actually explained, the Rishonim, a complete comparison, because the halacha is that be'erchin, if you were to say erich yada yalai, you can connect your erich to your hand. The halacha is that you don't have to give anything, whereas by hegdish you would have to give the value of the hand. But we are comparing them to the degree that you have, that if you say aver shanashama tluyaba, that is considered that you have to give the entire value both by erechin and by hegdish. The Rishonim ask that we have a rule ein hekesh lemachtza. So ask the Rishonim, if we have a hekesh between erechin and hegdish regarding the halacha that we just learned regarding nidim b'chvoidoi, so then we should be makish them all the way, and we should also be makish them regarding the halacha of mesadrin, and therefore we should say that just like by erchin there's a din of sidur, so too there should be a din of sidur by hegdish. Ein hekesh lemachtza. So the Rishonim answer, even though there is a rule of ein hekesh lemachtza, that rule is not said in a situation where there's a reason, where there's a good reason not to follow the hekesh. And as we said a moment ago, there's a Kal v'chomer that teaches us that by hekesh there should be no din of sidur. And once we have that Kal v'chomer in place, even though we're makish erech and hegdish, we are not makish it regarding the halacha of sidur. Tosfos also points out that this halacha that the Gemara is teaching us, how we do the evaluation by Hegdish, why do we need to learn it from Erchin? Why can we not learn it from Nezikin? Because the halacha by Nezikin is also, as we learned in Masechta Bava Kama, that if somebody damages, wounds the arm of someone else, he has to evaluate how much the person is worth with the arm and how much the person is worth without the arm, and that's the amount that he has to pay. So we see that there is a, whereas if he wounds him, the Avish and the Shamat Luyaboy, he has to pay for his entire value. So why do we need to learn the halacha from Erchin? Why can't we learn it from the Zikin? Answer the Rishonim, because the halacha of how we do the evaluation by Hegdish is not identical to the way we do the evaluation by Nezikin. By Nezikin, the halacha is that somebody wounds somebody else's arm. The halacha is that the way we evaluate him is that we evaluate how much is a slave worth with an arm versus how much a slave is worth without an arm. However, by Hegdish, that's not the way the evaluation is done. The way the evaluation by Hegdish is done is that we evaluate how much it would cost to, how much would this slave be sold if I gave the buyer permission to use the slave with both of his hands versus if I only gave him permission to use the slave with one hand. So since the two situations are not identical in this evaluation, we cannot learn the halachas of Hegdish from the halacha of Nezikin. Ask the Gemara, V'yisadru v'alchoiv, the halacha should be that we should do Sidr v'alchoiv because we should learn a kavachoyim mi erchin. Because my erchin, that the halacha is a machzirin, that we don't give back the mashkin, the halacha still is masadrin, as we said at the beginning of this year, the Torah teaches us, v'midl fnei akoyin, that we should do sidur v'achoyv, where we say the halacha is, the Torah teaches us explicitly, that the halacha is machzirin, that we have to return the mashkin, ein adin shem masadrin, certainly the halacha should be that we are masadin. Amakra answers the pasuk, strictly by Erechin is there a din of Masadrin, but not by Balchayf. Ask the Rishonim, how could the Gemara have a Havamina that were Masadr Balchayf? If, as we have learned, the Torah explicitly teaches us the din of Chazara, the Gemara just quoted, that we have to give back. So if the din is Masadrin, that we leave for the Baal Chayiv everything that he needs to survive, so obviously then there would never be a din Chazara. Chazara means that I took it and now I have to give it back. Masadrin means that I'm not allowed to take it in the first place. So the Rishonim ask, how could the Gemara have a Havamina that we're Masadr by Baal Chayiv? It was Masadr by Baal Chayiv, the din of Chazara would never apply. So according to Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat, we have a way of understanding, because Rabbeinu Tam will say that the halacha of Chazara is only when we take a mashkin, not as payment. We're only taking the mashkin when it's post the due date, not l'shem collection. There, the halacha is that you have to do Chazara, but the din of Masadrin would be when we're taking payment, that you're allowed to take payment. However, Masadrin, we have to leave over for the loiver what he needs to survive. Another pshat, we would say that Chazara applies to a situation where he took where he wasn't allowed to take. And the Torah is teaching us that you shouldn't have taken it, but if you take it because Masadrin, but you have to give it back. The Rashba explains that's referring to a situation where the loiva gave to the malva the mashkin. So if the loiva gave it away, obviously it isn't contrary to Masadrin, but there still is halacha a machzirin. Vidach, and the other man, the Omer, who says that we are Masadr by Balchayv, what will he use the pasuk from Machu Me'erkecha to teach us? To teach us, Hay et shem chusoy mitchilosev atzoyfoy. The only time the person who obligates himself with the erech doesn't have to pay the whole value is if he didn't have money the entire time, from when he made the erech until when he pays. But let's say he became wealthy before the kohen assessed him. So even though at the time that he undertook the erech obligation, he did not have the ability to pay, since now when it comes to pay, he has the ability to pay, the halacha is that I'll have to pay the whole erech value. Ask the Gemara, v'yachzir behegdish, kavachayim bevalchayiv, the halacha should be that if a mashkin was taken from somebody because he didn't pay his hegdish obligation, we should have to give back the mashkin to him because we should make the following kavachaymer or ma balchayv. If by balchayv the halacha, as we just finished saying, at least according to some opinion, is a mesadrin, still the halacha is machzirin hegdish. With our hegdish, with our halacha is the mesadrin, we don't take away from the person what he needs. Certainly, ain't a din shemachzirim, we should give back the, he should give back the mashkin that was taken from him. Amakra answers the Gemara. The Torah, when it teaches us the halacha that we have to return the mashkin, uses the words the shachav b'salmasai uverechecha. Yotza hegdish shein tzarek bracha. A person requires blessing. Hegdish doesn't require a bracha, and therefore the din of machzirim doesn't apply to hegdish. Ask the Gemara of Eloi, does hegdish not require a bracha? V'ksiv achat v'savato v'arachta. The Torah clearly talks about giving a bracha to Hashem. And as the Nefesh HaChaim explains, at least this way we'll try to explain what the Nefesh HaChaim says. What does it mean to give a bracha to Hashem? When we give a bracha to a person, we can understand the concept of a bracha. A person needs things. A person needs health, and he needs wealth, and he needs all sorts of different items. So we could give him a bracha that he should have those items. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything. And if Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to need something, we are not those that are able to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he needs. Explain the Nefesh HaChaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to recognize that he is Hashem. Kel Hashem Amlucha Amoshe Bagoyim. The world to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the world. The bracha we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say brachas, we say so many brachas, we're supposed to say 100 brachas every day. When we give a bracha, kavayachu kadosh baruch hu, is that we are proclaiming and recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the world. And the more we proclaim it, and the more we recognize it, that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring a greater shefa, a greater bounty to the world. That is the bracha that is possible by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now the Gemara's question is, what is the reason that there is no halacha or machzirim of returning the mashkin by hegdish? El amakra luchati etzdaka. The Torah says, as we began our shir, that somebody who gives back that mashkin to the loiva does tztaka. Misha tzarek tztaka, the loiva, a human being, can require tztaka. Yotza hegdish shein tzarek tztaka. Hegdish never requires tztaka. Says the Gemara, Ashkechei Rabbi Baravu El Eliyahu. Rabbi Baravu met Eliyahu Anovi, the koi v'beis akvar shlev t'kachavim, who was standing in a non-Jewish cemetery. Amalei, and he asked him, Mashi Yisadri Balchoiv, what is the halacha that about this shaila? And as the Mefarshim explained, Eliyahu was standing in the beis akvaris, because as we're going to see, that Eliyahu Hanavi was bitzar, he was upset, because as the Gemara will teach us soon, Rabbi Baravua was very poor. And the halacha is that if somebody is bitzar, he should go to a beis akvaris. And in fact, The halacha says, the Chasam Sofer is, if there is no Jewish cemetery nearby, you go to a non-Jewish cemetery. That's the halacha on Tisha B'Av, where the minig is to go to a cemetery. And if there is no Jewish cemetery in his vicinity, go to a non-Jewish cemetery. Eliyahu HaNavi was betzar over a Rabbi Bar Avuha situation, so he went to a cemetery. Another pshat is, as we're going to see in the Gemara, there was a dialogue between Eliyahu HaNavi and Rabbi Bar Avuha regarding the Tumah and Tahara status of Kivrei Ovdei Chachamim, and that's how actually Eliyahu pointed out Rabbi Bar Avuha's poverty, and that's why he stood in a cemetery. The Ben Yoyada says a fascinating pshat. He says there are goyim that do good things, and those goyim are the chassidei umas ha'olam, that just like we go to pray and stand by the kfarim of tzaddikim, we go and pray by their kfarim. But here we have a very fundamental question. We learned earlier in our masechta, the loy b'shamayim hi, the Torah questions of halacha are not answered b'shamayim. So the question is, how can Eliyahu HaNavi, how are we asking questions of Eliyahu HaNavi? And I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is, the Lo b'Shamayim, he means that we can't just say, in Shemayim they paskin, this is the way to follow, and we have to follow what they said in Shemayim. Lo b'Shamayim he. However, certainly if Eliyahu HaNavi will bring raya, will bring proof to his position, just because he's a Navi doesn't disqualify him from stating a position. One pshat I saw. Another pshat is, they originally had a Messiah. They knew what the answer to this question was, but that Messiah was unfortunately forgotten. And now, Eliyahu HaNavi was just coming to remind them what was already the psak that was well known. The Chasam Sofer has a different approach. The Chasam Sofer says that Eliyahu HaNavi could appear in one of two ways. Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes appears as a malach, and Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes appears as a person. When he appears as a malach, he is a malach. He's not a person. That's why he says, by a bris, we know that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris. And the question is, how can he come to every bris? On Shabbos, it requires him traveling past the Tchum. The answer is that Eliyahu HaNavi, when he appears at a bris, is a malach. As we say at a bris, Eliyahu malach habrisu, he's called a malach. When he comes as a malach, he's not confined to the halachas and to the rules that apply to human beings. But sometimes Eliyahu HaNavi, as in this situation, appears as a person. When Eliyahu HaNavi appears as a person, he has the din of a person, says the Chasam Sofer, and therefore the issue of Lo b'Shamayim is not relevant. And the point of the whole Gemara, says the Maral, is to show us the importance of chesed, of being considerate of other people who don't have. That's the concept of Sidur. The next Gemara speaks about a person who Nebuch doesn't have any clothing. We have to be concerned about other people. We have to be concerned for Rabbi Bar Avuha, who didn't have any money. Amalei, so Eliyahu answers, they asked the Mashi Yisadu Balchoyv, and Eliyahu Navi answered, Gomar, Micha Micha Merchen. We learn a Gzereshah from Erchen. Gabi Erchen, Ksiv, V'machum Erkecha, and therefore, just like by Erchin, the halacha is the Mesadrin, so too will be the halacha by Balchayf. Then they asked him another question. Menayin la'orum shloyitroim. How do you know that somebody is not wearing any clothing, is not allowed to take off truma? So he answers, the ksiv, because the pasuk says, v'loyiruch b'cha ervis dover. And ervis dover means Dibur. And therefore, since when somebody is mafresh truma, the halacha is he has to make a bracha, the person without clothing cannot make the bracha. That's how the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that the issue here is that he can't make the bracha when he's not wearing any clothing. And actually, there's a very interesting question that the Paiskim discuss based on this Gemara. The question comes up, someone was unfortunately in prison, and in ancient times the prisons were very filthy, And the question that came, that he asked was, he was in prison during Yom Tov Sukkos, may he take the Dalad Minim while he's in this filthy prison? Of course, he won't make a bracha. As we just said, V'layir b'cha erves dover erves tibur. We're not allowed to say a dover shev gedusha in a filthy place. But making the bracha is not essential to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. May he take the Dalad Minim in the filthy prison. The Paiskim, the Leif Chaim, the Sham Tzion Balacha discusses this, say that he may not take the Dalad Minim. He's not making a bracha. So they explain. There are two types of mitzvahs. Sometimes there's a mitzvah which is only a Hechsh mitzvah. It helps us be able to do a mitzvah. And sometimes the actual act itself is a mitzvah. For example, taking off Trumas and Maisris is not a mitzvah for itself. It's only a Hechsha mitzvah. And we're not allowed to eat produce from which Trumas and Maisris has not been separated. So therefore, taking off the Trumas and Maisris is a Hechsha mitzvah. Such a mitzvah can be fulfilled in a Mokim Atunuf, in that clean place. There's only a problem, as our Gemara indicates, that you can't make a bracha in such a place. However, the mitzvah of Dalad Minim is something else altogether. The mitzvah of Dalad Minim is a mitzvah of in its own right. And therefore, doing a mitzvah, even if we're not going to make a bracha, in a place that's not clean, is asur. So Rabbi Ravu asks Eliyahu, Lach Koymar, aren't you a Koyin? And therefore he asks him, My Tama Koymar Beis HaKfaris, why are you standing in a cemetery? Aren't you a Koyin? Amalei, Loimasni Ma Taharis, have you not learned, say the Taharis, the Tanya, where we learn a Braisa, Rav Shim Ben Yoichi Oimer, Kivreim Shalav T'Kachavim E Metamim, the Kvarim of Goyim are not Metamei, the Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vaten Soim Marisi Adam Atem. Atem Kriyim Adam, Kla Yisrael are referred to Adam, then Oiv the Chacham Kriyim Adam. But Goyim are not called Adam. And therefore, I'm allowed to go into a non-Jewish cemetery. The Rishonim point out that even if we'll say that Tumas Oil doesn't apply by Kivrei Akum, there is Tumas Maga. There is tumah that you're not allowed to touch a nest. And the question is, so therefore why did Eliyahu go into the cemetery? Why wasn't he concerned that he won't be touching a part of the corpse of a guy? So some Rishonim say, the Rani answers, that Eliyahu HaNavi was aware that where he was standing, there was no concern of touching any part of the mess of a guy, and therefore he didn't have a problem. Another teretz that the Ran suggests is that Eliyahu, that even though Goyim are metama b'maga b'masa, the level of tuma is only the level of tuma of tumas nevela, and the iser for a Goyim to become tamei is only a level of tuma of tumas mes, not of tumas nevela, and therefore even if he'll actually touch a goy, and even if the goy is matamba b'magav b'masa, that's not the type of tumah that a kohen is prohibited from. Another pshat is that Eliyahu HaNavi was a malach, and he didn't stand on the ground, and therefore he didn't stand on the ground. He doesn't have to worry about touching the mess. The mefarshim ask, if Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kohen, we all know this famous story with the Shunamis, with the Bana Shunamis, that Eliyahu HaNavi was Mechayim Esim. And the question is, how was he allowed to be Mechayim Esim? The person was Tamei, and you know, Kohen's not allowed to be Metama. So some want to suggest that there are two reasons why Pikuach Nefesh is doicha kol ha-tara kula. One pasuk is v'chai behem v'loy shamas behem, and therefore, indeed, a person who's already dead, there is no din of v'chai behem. But the other reason is Chal lov Shabbos achas kedei sheyishma Shabbos harbei. We're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. We're allowed to do anything because this person will do more mitzvahs. Eliyahu Hanavi was knew that he would be able to be mechay mason, this person, and the person will be able to live and do mitzvahs, and therefore, even though he was already dead, he was already allowed to be mechay mason him. Others want to suggest that he was, the Eliyahu Hanavi knew that he will be successful. And since he knew that he'll be successful, it falls into the category of Bikuach Nefesh. Others say that the Banish Shanamis was only a Geisus, and since he was a Geisus, the Halacha doesn't apply. Others want to say, even though it's a very difficult Teretz, that he wasn't Jewish. His mother, the Shanamis, was non-Jewish. The difficulty with the Teretz is because they say that the Banish Shanamis was the Navi Yoina, and Yoina was certainly Jewish. But now we need to understand what the Gemara says. Atam kriyim Adam, vein oiv dekachavim kriyim Adam. Actually, the way the Rishonim begin by understanding this Gemara is the Gemara says Masechta Sanhedrin. Menayin sha'afilu nachri ha'oisbek Torah shukikoyin gadol. Even a guy who learns Torah, he's so great. Shenemar b'shmatem es chukoyseh v'smishpota yeshiyas oisa Adam v'chay behem. Says the Gemara. So we see that Goyim are included in the category of Adam. How come they're not included here? So the Rishonim answer that there's a difference between the word Adam and Ha-Adam. Ha-Adam includes Yisraelim and Nochrim. Adam is only Yisraelim. Why? So the Mefarshim explain that Adam HaRishon was created at the end of the Bria Ha'olam, because that was the tachlis, that was the goal of Bria Ha'olam, to create the Adam. So too, the tachlis of creating the world was for Klal Yisrael. Why? So Mefarshim explained, because the pasuk actually in Pasuk Bereishis that says Vayihi Adam lenefesh chaya, says the Targum Unkelus lenefesh chaya leruach memalala. What is great about a person is that he's able to speak. But what does it mean he's able to speak? He's able to speak Divrei Torah. He's able to daven. Who speaks Divrei Torah? Who davens? Klal Yisrael. Atem kriyim Adam v'loy av dekachovim kriyim Adam. Another pshat that I saw is that Adam really has in it two connotations. On one hand, Adam means Edma Le'elyon. We could compare this person to a Malach. On the other hand, Adam means Afer, Dam, Mara, the most basic, simple elements of what makes up a human being. A person from Klal Yisrael has in himself these two characteristics. He could be Edma Le'elyon, he could be like a Malach, or he could be Adam. Dam, Mara, blood and blood and skin and skin, bone, skin, bones and blood. And it's the job of, it is the tafkir of a person in Klal Yisrael to take from a Adam into Edma Le'elyon. But that we only find in Klal Yisrael. Then there's another beautiful pshat that I saw when the trial of Balus in Russia took place, which it's well known that that really wasn't just a trial of that individual, but the entire Jewish religion and the entire Jewish theology were under attack. And Rav Mazza was the chief rabbi of Moscow at that time, and it was he who was preparing the defense that the prosecutors were claiming against him. And one of the Gemaras that they quoted was this Gemara, that Atam Kriyim Adam Vein Oiv Dekachavim Kriyim Adam. Rav Meir Shapiro sent to Rav Mazza how to explain this Gemara. He sent it to him in the name of the Chartkiv Rebbe. Rav Meir Shapiro said, we find a very interesting phenomenon. There are a number of words in the Hebrew language that they use to call a person Ish, Gever, Adam. But there's a difference between all of those words. The word ish, there's a plural form and there's a single form. Ish, anoshim. Gever, gvorim. Adam, there is no plural of Adam. He's saying, atem kriyim Adam. Klal Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael, wherever they are Adam, are one. Are achdus, we're all one. By the Goyim, there are different nations and different religions and different cultures and different countries. We're all one. And therefore he went on to say, that's why all of Klal Yisrael were so concerned when this individual was put on trial. Because if one member of Klal Yisrael is in trouble and is on trial, it's Atem Kriyim Adam. All of us are on trial. All of us have to feel it. Amalei. So Rabbi Baravu explains why he wasn't aware of this brisa, because he says, I'm not that familiar with the four sedarim. B'shita Metzina, you want me to be familiar with all Shisha Sidri Mishnah? And the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara is that he said, I was familiar with Mayid, Noshim, Nezikim, and Kachim. I'm not familiar with Zroim and Taris. Of course, Taisa says, he knew all the Mishnayos. It just means that he didn't know all the Brises and all the Gemaras. Zroim and Taris, he said he wasn't familiar with, because Zroim and Taris are the least relevant. Zroim applies to Mitzvahs Atluyos Baretz. He lived in Chutz Laretz. Taris also applied to Tumah Tahara that weren't relevant. As Rashi and Kachim is also not relevant. Kachim is only relevant when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Says Rashi, since the halacha is kol oisik b'parshas kabbonis, if somebody learns the kabbonis, it's ilu kikriv, it's like he brought that carbon, so therefore he had to learn kachim. Asks him Eliyahu v'amai, amalei v'amai, and why didn't you learn everything? Amalei d'chik l'milsa, I'm poor, I don't have the ability to spend all the time learning. Dabri v'aylel gan eden, so Eliyahu takes him to gan eden. Amalei p'shoit glimach, take off your coat, safi shaka mahani tarfi, and pick up some of the leaves that are here on the floor of Gan Eden. Safik shakal, and he took them. Kevinofik, as he was leaving Gan Eden, shama the kamer, he heard them saying, man ka ochel almei k'rabba ravua. Rabba Ravu is taking his schar of oilam haba now. Nofit shadinu. So he immediately dropped them. Afila hochi, aisil glime, he still brought his coat that had this wonderful fragrance of these leaves, sochet glimerechei, and he squeezed out the fragrance, and still zovne betreis alferechei, that had absorbed this wonderful fragrance, and he was able to sell it for a tremendous amount of money, for 12,000 denar. But pelginel chasnasei, he gave the money to his son-in-laws. He didn't want to keep it for himself. So the question obviously is that if Eliyahu Navi didn't want him to keep it, because he didn't want him to have Hana in this world from his schar, so what was the point of taking him there? So the Farshim explained, he wanted him to see the tremendous schar that Talmidei Chachamim will have in Gan Eden, and that will help him, and that will make it easier for him to sustain the difficult time that he has in this world. The Farshim explained that why he given out to son-in-laws, because he didn't want to have Hana in this world. So why did he give it to his son-in-laws and not to his sons? So the Mashal explains, because since his sons are his Yorshim, and the halacha is that, so it will be like he's keeping it himself. Son-in-laws, however, aren't his Yorshim, and therefore the halacha is he could give it to them. In fact, the Shagas Aryeh says that only to the person who the Nais happened to, he's not going to have Hano, he's not going to have a benefit from Maisa Nisim. Other people may have that Hano, and therefore his son-in-laws, who weren't his blood relatives, he could give them the money that he earned from this cult. Tana Bonim. We go on to speak about the halachas that we've been discussing about this mashkin. Vimish anihu lasishke ba'avoytei. Ha'asha, it seems, shachiv, that you would be allowed to take, you would be allowed to use the security, which, as will become clear, is difficult to understand, because isn't it an issue of ribbis? My kummer explains the more. How do we understand the brisa? Amr Shay Talk kummer. Vim ish ani who, if the person who you took the mashkin from is poor, lest tishkad v'avat etzlocha. Don't go to sleep when you have that security. Ha'ashir, if he's wealthy, and you don't have to return the security to him, shchayv v'avat etzlocha, you can go to sleep and not have to give back the security. But certainly, you may not use the security. We look, because then it would be an issue of ribbis. Furthermore, the tumim, the Urim v'Tumim says that this halacha is only, we don't look at the time of the halva, if he was poor or rich, we look at the time of when we took it. And if the person now needs it, even though when he was taken from him, or when the halva was made, the loiva was wealthy, we have to return it. Tana Rabbanan. Hamavas chaver en rishoy l'mashkenoi. Not allowed to take a mashkin from him. We don't have to return it. Ask the Ramai Kama, how do we understand the Braisa? Our Mashiach Talk Kama. Hamavas Chaveroi, Ein Rishoy L'Mashkinoi. If you're not allowed to take a mashkin, you're not allowed to go take the mashkin. Vim Mishkinoi, and if Vif Mishkinoi, Chayv L'Achsaloi, you have to return it. And as Tosfos explains, even though there is opinion of Rava, the Kamil Stomer Achmana Loi Savid, anything the Torah said don't do, he Ovid Loi Mahani. Here the halacha is that even if you did it, the Torah clearly teaches us that we have to give back the mashkin. Bible calls Shemus Halala Sefer that if you don't return the mashkin, you'll be over all these averis. Rava gives a different explanation to Bryce. Hachkam. Hamavas Chavei En Rishoy L'Mashkinoi. You're not allowed to take this mashkin. The mashkinoi, Chayv L'Hachsaloi. That you didn't take the security at the time of the loan. As we have been explaining, if the mashkin was taken at the time of the loan, then the dinim that you have to return the mashkin doesn't apply. Is going to the ratio where if you take the mashkin when after post due date, there halach is, if you don't return the mashkin, you'll be over all of these averis. The machlokes rishonim, if you take a mashkin not at the time of the loan, nor post the due date, but between the time of the loan and the time of the loan being due, what status does that mashkin have? Tana Rav Shitzik Chameid Rova, Ad Ba Hashem is Teshivena Loi, Zeksus Laila. Then until the sun goes down, you should give him back the things that he needs at night. That when the sun goes down, you should give him back what he needs by day. So he asked, it's a very difficult price to understand. It seems that what he needs by day, we should give him by night. And we should give him by day when he needs by night. Amalei asme, should I perhaps remove this brisa because it seems to be incorrect? Amalei loy, don't remove it. But hachikama, this is the way to understand the brisa. Adba Hashem to shivena lo zeksus yoyin shenitnu lechabe belayla. At night you could take what he needs by day. That a night thing, linen or nighttime items, the malva could take and have by day.